moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Hey guys, and welcome to the next episode of the Gosscast. I really hope you enjoyed the Perez Hilton episode last week. Got loads of feedback on it, so it seems like you did. So I'm delighted about that. This week, it's myself and Goss.ie's editor, Kendra Becker. We're just chatting through some of the big stories that are going around this week, including 2FM, all the changes that have gone on there, Nicky Byrne and Jenny Green leaving, who we've heard might be coming in to the station. And also we're going deep into the Michael Jackson documentary, Leaving Neverland, just what we thought about it, all the stuff that's being said about it online, as well, Madeleine McCann, that new documentary is coming out next week. So we want you all to listen to that, or sorry, to watch it. It's out this week. So definitely watch that this weekend, because we're going to talk about it next weekend. And yeah, enjoy. Hey guys, and welcome to this week's episode of the Gosscast. It's myself and Kendra Becker. How are you doing, Kendra? Kendra Becker.
I'm grand.
Sorry, does your mum listen to the podcast now?
I think so, yeah.
My mum still doesn't know how to listen to it on her phone. She's never heard it. So I would shout you out, mum, but I know
Get
you're not
on
listening.
Terry.
You know iPhones, because she's an iPhone, that actually has the podcast app on it already. And yeah, still has not
it
heard
like comes
the podcast.
With it.
But yeah, I hope you guys liked the Perez Hilton podcast last week. If you didn't listen to it, go back and listen. I got good feedback. It was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
And I felt like he was in studio. The sound was so good. So we're definitely going to play around with that and do a few more people that aren't in Ireland. Mm-hmm. Do we know anyone in Tokyo or like Azerbaijan? Just like really test it out? No.
No. No.
So yeah, we were going to talk about first of all some of the big stories this week, and I feel like everyone's been talking about 2FM and all the big changes going on there. So earlier in the week, Jenny Green, who's been with 2FM for 12 years, wrote this big long statement on Instagram, and statements now all seem to be written in the notes section.
Yeah.
Were you listening to the radio with me last week when someone was talking about this?
Yeah, no, I've heard this thing that like
everyone was like, you're not
trend.
A real celebrity until you screenshot your notes and you put that on Instagram or Twitter, and it makes it
so
very difficult for us to write out what you've written.
Yeah,
it's
a pain in the arse, by the
so
way, so
please,
stop doing that.
Please actually write it in text and maybe add the notes if you'd like to do both. It's only copy and paste to them, Kendra. They can do it. She wrote, and we were so shocked, weren't we? Like, we've been fans of Nicky and Jenny show for years. They've actually won the Gossie for Best Radio Show 2 years in a row. When we first started the Gossies, they won the second year. Like, their popularity has just been crazy.
We listen, like, every day.
Yeah. Like, I remember when I actually first started Goss, Nicky and Jenny started in 2014, so same year that Goss.ie started. And we had a running joke in the office because we would hear them saying something, like Nicky would say something silly like, and then we'd write it. And then Nicky and Jenny kept saying on the show all the time, they were like, oh my God, Goss.ie is going to have this. Like they constantly were like, oh God, I hope Goss.ie isn't listening. This is going on the whole time. So we had such a good relationship with them. And when Nicky was announced as joining 2FM, there was a lot of people very like, what? Like, how is this going to work? How is it going to be? But the pairing with Jenny Green was just...
So good.
Like every time I ask people what their favorite radio show is, at least two or three people will be like Nicky and Jenny, because they get on so well. And you can tell.
Yeah, they're genuine friends.
Yeah, like you can tell. There's so much banter. And even he was joking when they were doing their fifth year birthday, he was like still pressing the wrong buttons. And it's just gas. Like they're just funny together. So she put up a thing saying that she was gone and basically alluded to the fact that she was offered a different show that's in the evenings. Which we don't know what show that is yet, but I've heard through the grapevine, you know. That she was offered it and then she felt like it was a step back because she started off in the evenings. Mm-hmm. So obviously for most presenters that you want to be in primetime radio, which is like drive time, lunch time and morning, right? They're the main ones. So in between all this, we had heard rumors that Jennifer Zamparelli was getting her own show.
Yeah.
And then basically all exploded. It all came out.
Like all in the space of like 30 minutes. We were all like, shit, in the office.
And like, I kind of, do you know what made me really sad? Because so Jenny put up the status saying she was going. Then Orchie sent out a message saying, or a message. They WhatsApped me. they emailed a statement saying Jen Zamparelli is taking over the Nicky Byrne show. Mm-hmm. And then Nicky released a statement saying that he's gone. And like when Jenny announced her departure, me and you were like, oh, well, Nicky's on his break.
Yeah.
Because of Westlife. But then I messaged his publicist and she was like, oh, like Nicky's gone from 2FM.
Yeah.
And we were like, excuse me.
And like very much like after Nicky and like the lads from Westlife announced their comeback and everything, it was very much assumed that Nicky was going back. Like even in interviews and stuff, they were like, so what about 2FM? And he was like, oh, like, yeah,
I'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Now he did say things like, oh, I hope they wait for me. So we were a bit like, yeah. But I never in a million years would have thought that Nicky would actually be gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it seems like even from watching his Instagram stuff, like they're recording a full new album, which I kind of forgot about too. Like I knew they had the tour, but they're actually making new music. But like Nicky for me is one of the main faces of 2FM.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it's a huge loss. And for Jenny, it's a massive, like 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But people weren't happy
no,
with the news.
There was, yeah.
There was very
Twitter
mixed.
Was...
Like I love Jen Zamperali, right? And I love her on Dancing with Stars. I think she's brilliant. But a lot of people were upset that she was taking over from Nicky and Jenny because I suppose they're together
more,
as a duo.
I think people were more upset that she's leaving Breakfast Republic because they love Keith
Bernard
and Jen
in the middle of
Jen
all of
together.
This, Breakfast Republic is going to have to change.
Yeah.
So there was rumors, 2FM haven't confirmed this stuff right about Breakfast Republic, that like who's replacing, have they?
No.
Cause, so everyone's saying Lottie Ryan is going to be taking over, but then me and you have heard that there's going to be two completely new people on Breakfast Republic.
Yeah.
And we actually wrote a story about it. Well, we will be. This is like, it's a future, back to the future. On Sunday, there will be a story on the site, which is today, if you're listening on Sunday, that Dearen Garrahy has been into 2FM, we've heard, doing some tests, some audio tests and stuff like that, and possibly pairing up with Owen McDermott. Like it's funny because they used to work together before.
Yeah.
When she was doing A Road Watch.
Yeah.
She was on the show.
So it's like full circle.
Full circle. And I do think they'd be good together, and I think Dearen is a perfect fit for 2FM. But just
They're both good crack, like.
Just means a lot of change is coming. Like I've heard Louise McSharry is getting a different show, right? So that's the evening time changed. I've heard Owen and Dearen are pairing up together. I've heard Stephen Byrne might be getting a new show. Like we're obviously hearing a lot of things. So we don't know 100% what's happening, but what we do know is there's a huge shakeup. And I remember the original shakeup when Nicky and Jenny were brought in and stuff like that. It was 2014.
Mm-hmm.
It literally was in every single newspaper because Dan Healy, the head of 2FM, he brought in so many people and he got rid. He culled 2FM. Yeah. Like if you look,
was that the same year that Breakfast Republic started as well? Yeah.
Yeah. All of that started. So Republic Italia was still on TV and that's where Breakfast Republic came from. So they brought Keith in, they brought Bernard in, they had Nicky and Jenny, and then they slowly, like Ryan Tuberty used to be on 2FM, they got him, they moved him to RT Radio, and then over the years like a few people have gone to other stations or have left 2FM, like Will Leahy, Rick, I know he said Ricky Gervais,
Ricochet,
and then obviously this year as well, the golden era, like Larry is in a different station too. So there's been a lot of changes, and I think it's no secret that 2FM want to get the younger market. They want the younger people there. But I don't know, what do you think? Like, do you think these changes are going to be good? Like, I feel like everyone had only kind of really settled into their new roles maybe last year.
Yeah,
it
I
takes
don't know.
Time.
I am sad about, like, Breakfast Republic changing. I love the
Breakfast
three of them
Republic,
together.
They're so funny.
I do like the idea of Dearen coming in. I think she'll bring, like, a fresh kind of... I don't know. I think she'll just freshen things up a bit.
And
I
it's hard to know, Dearen, because obviously she's been on Today FM as well. So this is just what we're hearing, that she has gone in and that they're really interested in having her.
Yeah. And I do feel like it would be like a dream job for her.
I know. What an amazing journey to start off in AA Road Watch.
Yeah.
To then, because she left 2FM to go to Spin to become their showbiz reporter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's crazy to think she'd be going back again, like in with a huge show, basically. Mm.
And obviously as well, like... Podge and Raj hasn't been renewed yet, so we don't know if that's going to be coming back or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like,
so she'd have time to do a show, a full show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd be really interested to see what's going to happen. Like, I think they're going to make some announcements in the next week or two for, but see, most schedules start in like September, like autumn. So I think a lot of things have come out probably earlier than they had hoped because Nicky wasn't meant to be leaving for another while, you know, and then Conor Behan is covering at the moment for Nicky and Jenny. Yeah. I love Conor Bean.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Like, I want Conor to get a show.
Yeah.
He deserves
his taste
a show.
His music is fab.
I'd also love to see Tara Stewart get a show. Like, there's a lot of up and coming talent in there that now is
deserve,
their time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, apparently, like, some of the staff were told only a few weeks ago, kind of, like, if you want to get a show, or, like, get in some demos, like, now is the time. There's a lot of changes happening. So it's a good time for up-and-coming people. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably a sad time for Jenny. And, you know, I'm hearing that other places already want her. So I think she will go somewhere.
Yeah.
But, like, I loved their show. Like, I'm so upset about it. You know, I feel like when one person leaves a duo thing, these things always happen. It's so hard to keep someone on the show when their, like, co-presenter goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Jen
totally changes the dynamic, I suppose.
I'm interested to see, like, is that, do you think she's going to be on her own?
I don't know, actually. I feel like they should probably put her with someone. I don't know.
Yeah, because they have it in the press release that she's getting her own show.
Yeah.
But they said the same about Nikki, and then it was Nikki and Jenny.
Don't they always kind of have, like,
a psychic?
Yeah, they have, like, producers there and stuff as well. Like,
keep Conor Behan, put him there.
Yeah.
Squeeze him in beside her. I think she's going to be really good, though, and people love her. And I think Dancing with the Stars even more so now. People,
she's done such a good job.
I think when she was first hired for it, people were a bit like, oh, like, they hadn't thought of her for that. She's just so funny. And on Breakfast Republic, she's known for, like, her humor and just being gas. They were like, people were kind of like, how is she going to be serious? Like, be a presenter, a serious presenter. But she's done a really good job, actually. Mm-hmm. And she shimmied her way onto the show in the first episode. Actually, speaking of Dancing Stars, who do you think is going to win? Like, we're nearly at the end.
Oh, my God. Oh, I don't know.
I feel like Johnny Ward should win.
I was talking to, shout out January. She always does the reporting there for us. And I was talking to her today, and she said she thinks Mairead is going to win.
Does she?
Yeah, she has, like, a huge amount of support.
She does have a lot of support. And this thing, like, I've been out, when I was out there that time, I was talking to some of the people there, and they were like, you know, it's a popularity contest, not just a dancing contest. And that's the truth. But you know what? The ones that are left, I feel like they all actually can dance.
Yeah.
I don't, like, there's no one where I'm like,
I feel like the most deserving dancers are probably Johnny and Cleona. They're the best dancers, in my opinion.
They're both, and you know, a girl has never won. I remember there was, like, uproar when Avian Garrahy didn't win. Do you remember? Everyone was like, insane. She should have won. She was amazing.
Yeah.
Last year, I thought Erin McGregor was brilliant. There's been people that have been, like, what's the word? Like,
robbed.
Robbed. Wow. Like, your meal was robbed the other day.
That's not very good.
In joke. But, like, sorry, who are, like, mechanically very, very, very good at the dancing, but then they don't make it to the final, they don't win, and you're kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
Because it is about so much more. It's about liking them. It's about their personality. From being out there that one night, now I'm basically a professional in knowledge of this, I thought the best dancer was Johnny. Because when Johnny is on the dance floor, you actually can't tell who the professional dancer is.
Yeah.
They're moving so fast.
Johnny does have experience on stage, though.
Yeah.
So he did kind of have the upper hand
already.
There.
Yeah.
And I think people know that.
So people like to see people come in with not that much experience and learn as they go.
Yeah.
We should try to go to the final.
We should.
Yeah, next weekend.
Yeah.
Because I'm dying to see who wins. And FYI, they do an amazing after party. Yeah. So that's going to be happening too. But yeah, so keeping to stuff that's in the news, I suppose. One of the big things everyone's talking about is the Michael Jackson documentary. Like, I'm exhausted thinking about it.
Cope.
It's so intense. Leaving Neverland. If you haven't watched it, you gotta watch it. And after I watched Leaving Neverland, I then watched the Oprah special, which was like, goodbye Neverland. I don't know, there's all these words, Neverland.
Leaving Neverland is on All Four, by the way, the player.
All Four player.
Y'all can watch it.
And then, yeah, the Oprah one is good too. It's caused a very mixed reaction, I think. Do you think so too?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, there's such a contrast between the people, like,
who support and believe him.
I just think those people that are actually contesting his innocence are, like, fucking mad.
Contesting his guilt, you
mean? Oh, sorry, his guilt. Yeah,
you're
sorry.
Like, Michael Jackson's innocent.
Imagine.
Oh my God, our office would be burned to the ground.
Michael, I love you. Leave
no,
Michael alone.
I do not. Let me make that clear. No.
Like, this documentary, I watched it after Ali. She was like, you need to watch it. I was like, right, I had to mentally prepare myself.
Get the tissues.
Like, sat down in my living room and, like, it's just so horrific.
It's horrific.
It's not easy watching, like, I won't lie. It's pretty uncomfortable. But yeah, it's pretty well made.
It's very well made. And I put a poll up on my own Instagram stories just saying, after watching Leaving Neverland, do you think the parents are partially to blame? The mothers, actually, I think I said specifically, which I didn't mean parents, obviously I meant. Maybe I did say parents are partially to blame. And like about 30% of people said no, like they weren't. What? Yeah, right. And 70% said yes. So most people did say yes. But I was really intrigued about the people that were saying no. And like a few of them messaged me and I was like, you don't think that there is a bit of blame on the mothers, who, for example, Wade Robson's mother left him on his own for 5 days in Neverland.
Yeah.
With a man in his 30s when he was 7 years old.
Yeah.
Knowing that Michael wanted him to sleep in his bed.
Yeah.
Like, how can you
it's
leave
bad
your
enough
child?
Leaving your child with
anyway,
a stranger for like 5 minutes.
Leaving your child with a minder, leaving your child with your mom, you'd still be nervous for five days. But a complete stranger who was famous. So I totally disagree with anyone who said it wasn't. Like, if those parents hadn't put those kids in the position that they were, it would not have happened. Like, it is not possible for it to have happened. If they had been sitting in a room with them 24/7, there is no way it could have happened.
Yeah.
It could have happened another time, maybe, but in the times that it happened, being in a hotel room, being in a bedroom, like, what? And then the mother is like, kind of being like, oh, yeah, fond memories. Those times were good. You're like, no, your son was being raped downstairs.
Yeah. Like, and the way they were like, you know, like, we just thought they were doing kid things. But like
drawing.
They were together 24/7. Being like put in rooms miles away.
Like, it's complicated in one sense, because apparently, like, at the time, Michael was really open about saying that he like didn't have a childhood and he wanted to colour in with kids. And there are people like Macaulay Culkin, who to this day, literally last week, did an interview said that he never touched him. So there was obviously situations where he had sleepovers with boys and had parties and nothing happened. So I guess that's where the confusion is. But even if that's true, and both stories could be true, he could have maybe never molested Macaulay Culkin. But that doesn't mean he didn't molest Wade Robson and Jimmy Falchuk. Like that, and that's the thing I found really hard with this, watching the online reaction and stuff. The Oprah one, which is a really good one to watch, I think it's literally just on YouTube, but everyone in the audience are all survivors of sexual abuse from being kids, and she was obviously abused as well. Oprah Winfrey was, and she was saying the one thing that people like always get confused about, like, is that like, just because he was like molesting one person, he didn't molest someone else, doesn't mean he didn't do it though. It doesn't mean you don't believe someone because, oh well, he didn't do it to me. And then she was talking about, it's such a complicated situation, because with Wade Robson, I was saying this to you during the week, like, he specifically has kind of been questioned a lot in the media because he went on record in a court of law and 100% was like, Michael never molested me. So he was 11 the first time. So like, okay, so young. You wouldn't know what the hell you're doing. But then he did it again when he's 22 and again when he's 23. So in the Oprah interview, she genuinely is like, well, how can you explain though at 22 and 23 going into court of law, understanding now that what he was doing was molestation and understanding of sexual abuse, and understanding that by you going on there and saying it's not true, that you're allowing him to do it again to someone else.
Yeah.
And he didn't really have a reply. So a few people are weird about him because of that. They're like, well, why did you do it? Because Jimmy didn't. He didn't after the first time. He never went back to court again. So people find that kind of a bit weird. But then Oprah, rightly so, was saying, though, you know, when that happens to you, you literally do fall in love with the person. And she was kind of saying of Wade, like, that he was just so in love with Michael, he wanted to protect him.
Yeah.
So that's why he went to court, that it wasn't
and
about
also
the other things.
About his career and stuff. It would have, at the time,
it would have destroyed his entire life.
So, like, obsessed with the fact that Michael was innocent and trying to prove it and stuff. So if he had said, oh no, it did happen to me,
and it could have backfired.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel sorry for him because, like, he's really being portrayed as like a liar and a cheat because, you know, there was so many rumors back in the day that he's the reason Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears broke up, because apparently they had a little thing. But like, that still doesn't mean he wasn't molested, you know, like, and apparently, like, when you're molested when you're younger, like you become promiscuous, like you have sexual needs that other people wouldn't have. So like someone that cheats, or like apparently that's a normal trait of someone who's been sexually abused. And you know, so that really isn't a reason. And it's weird, like even on my own Facebook timeline, I don't know about you, but like there's friends of mine that I know that are putting things up being like, he's innocent.
What? Really? I haven't seen anything.
Yes.
The only stuff I've seen about him like saying that he's innocent and stuff is like people in America, like freaks.
No, I've seen it on my timeline. And also, do you remember we saw that tweet from Michael's niece? That was kind of doing the rounds. She was saying she was in a relationship with Wade for like 7 years.
Yeah.
In the teenage years and stuff like that. So there's all these different types of people trying to say he's innocent, but that again doesn't mean he wasn't molested. Maybe he did go out with her for 7 years. Like, it's so weird. It really brings the whole celebrity. It's a good time to talk about this because I feel like this whole obsession with celebrities, it just makes people go blind. Like when you look at the R. Kelly stuff as well, like this is all happening now at the same time. Like the amount of girls that willingly went with him in the last maybe 2 years when it was so obvious that something weird was going on with him. The BuzzFeed article had come out saying that he basically had sex slaves. He was in court for possibly having sex with a 14-year-old girl. But because it's R. Kelly.
Yeah, you're like, oh, whatever.
You're like, oh my gosh. And I feel like with Michael Jackson, anyone who's supporting him now and who supported him then, they just didn't want to believe that someone that famous and someone that you love their music could do something like that. And I heard it, I don't know if it was on the radio or in a video, someone was talking about now, can we separate the artist from the art? Like, so should, because RT have come out and said they're not going to play any more Michael Jackson songs.
Yeah.
And they were actually one of the first radio stations in the world. I think a New Zealand one had.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were one of the first ones. So like, do you think you can, or do you think it all should be just banned? Like, can you enjoy Michael Jackson's song and still think he's a pedophile and be against him, but still be like, well, I like the song? Like, should they be separated, or should it be banned?
I think it should be banned.
Yeah.
It's just when you watch the doc, it's just like, oh.
But
like
then,
thinking of how he got away with this for so long.
So long. But see, I think there's such double standards all over the industry, because I look at the R. Kelly thing, right, and it's like, mute R. Kelly, and that kicked off and it's basically done its job. But like, Chris Brown beat the shit out of Rihanna, and we still play his songs. So I feel like people decide whether they want to separate the art from the artist. There's a lot of people out there that have done bad things, and we're still playing their music. There's so many rappers, singers, whatever, that have been in jail, that have beaten up their wives, beaten up their girlfriends, shot people, have been shot, have been in gangs, and it's like, Grant. But then, so this is what's weird about the internet. Like, people just get on these things. So now everyone's like, no. But I don't know if that's going to last forever. Like, do you think for the rest of our lives, no one's going to play a Michael Jackson song? He's one of the most famous artists that have ever been. Like, next to Elvis. He is literally.
Guess it just depends on how you feel about it personally. I personally wouldn't.
Wouldn't want to hear it.
No.
Would it cause you upset to hear a Michael Jackson song on the radio?
Yeah.
Where did I say I was and I heard it and I was shook to my core? Where was I?
We were in 37
Dawson Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change your playlist,
oh
lads.
Oh my God. I was just like, oh, I just got a bit of a shock. Yeah. I was like, is that Michael Jackson? Because I haven't heard it since. I actually haven't heard any Michael Jackson song since the documentary came out.
Wow.
And it was in a bar in LA as well. Thriller, I think, came on too. And I was like, oh my God, I'm shook.
Sure.
And the person I was with was like, oh, well, like, they're still going to play Michael Jackson. I was like, no, literally, the point is, though, that like, they're supposedly not.
Yeah. Actually, I was talking to my friend about this yesterday, and she actually just watched the first part, and like, she thought it was actually too hard to watch, so she didn't watch the second part.
Oh,
and
my
I was
God,
like,
the second
no,
part is much
I was
worse.
Like, you really need to watch the second part, because the stuff about them telling their families
family
and stuff, that's what really drove it home for me, where I was like, you know, why would they come out and say all this stuff
and
if
literally
it wasn't
destroy
true?
Their lives?
Like,
I'm the same.
What's the point?
And I don't think it's bad to admit that, like, when you never know who to believe. Like, I wasn't immediately like, yeah, I'm on their side, because people say things and make claims and it's so
hard.
Yeah,
I've seen all this money stuff involved. Saying that they were like, maybe it was maybe not true and stuff like that.
Yeah, and when there's money involved and they're suing an estate that are worth like $100 million or whatever, you're like, okay. But I'm the same with you. When I saw the parents and the sisters and the brothers talking about when they were told, you're like, and the wives. Yeah. You're like, no, they literally just blew up their entire world. Yeah. No money is worth that. No money. Fair enough trying to sue an estate, but when you see the wives and the brothers and the moms talking about how they told them, you know that that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the way as well, there's a lead up to it. Like, they're talking about how Jimmy was being really weird and didn't want to go out, and Wade was like, there's something wrong with me. And like, no, everyone was like worried, and he was starting to go to therapy. Mm. Like, it's such a believable story, because then he's, and then like that he said it at a food cart and just started crying. Yeah. Like, you're like, oh my God, that is probably how it happened.
I thought it was really interesting how for both of them, it wasn't until after they both had children and were looking at their own children, realizing like, oh my God, like what if this happened to them?
That's going to hit them.
Like, it's really interesting. I don't think they ever like met before they did the documentary.
On the Oprah one, they talk about they did meet before. Yeah, they met twice, but when they were kids at sleepovers in Michael Jackson's house. Yeah.
So crazy.
So they knew who they were. Yeah. And on the Oprah one as well, you should definitely watch this again. On the Oprah one, Jimmy says that he was never going to tell anyone or really face it until he saw Wade's interview, the one where he went on TV and like made the first claims.
Yeah.
And he said the reason he told people wasn't out of like, yeah, it happened to me too, I want to talk about it. He said he literally got so panicked that he was going to be found out, because he said that was always his fear of being found out, that it was always his worry, because obviously he says that Michael said if we get caught, like all these bad things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were around the same time frame, he said he got really panicked that it was going to come out that it happened to him as well. And that that's what made him start to tell people.
Yeah.
So but like, it's such a believable story. Like,
I think it's really interesting as well, like people saying like, oh, they're just going after the money and stuff, because obviously they're like suing the estate and stuff. But I think, in my opinion, I think they're fucking entitled to the money.
Oh, because they're not going to
get
any
criminal justice because he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
So like,
and this is where there's this weirdness around Wade, because Jimmy, whatever happened with them, you kind of see that they kind of cut off contact and that was it. Whereas Wade continued to benefit off Michael Jackson and, you know, became NSYNC's choreographer.
Yeah.
And Michael's family claimed that he was still trying to get money and jobs and stuff even after Michael died and stuff like that. So for them, I think it's hard with him because they're like, well, you did benefit, like your whole career is because of Michael.
Mm-hmm.
But that's never going to make up for the pain and trauma and everything that happened. And for anyone that's saying that kind of like, well, he didn't do it to Macaulay Culkin, so it can't be true. Like, I was talking to my mum about it and she was saying that, you know, predators, they do look to the parents. You know, a lot of predators will say that, like ones who groom people, and they can groom the parents too. And that does happen. But if they see strong parents around a child, apparently they will never try it.
Yeah.
Like they'll know that something will go down. So he obviously, this is why the parents are partially to blame. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but they are. He obviously met those parents. I mean, Wade's parents moved from Australia, his mom, to make his career work.
And she, in the documentary, she like admits to kind of being obsessed with Michael.
Yeah,
like,
obsessed. And talking to him on the phone all the time. And then her husband and Wade's father kills himself. And that's just moved past in the documentary. They're like, and then the next day, you're like, sorry,
so
wait,
crazy.
What? So he obviously picked people who were easily persuaded, people who were obsessed.
And weren't Macaulay's parents like pretty well to do in Hollywood? Like people knew
them.
Yeah,
and well off as well. So like, you know. And then, sorry, Jimmy then as well, his mom, like Michael bought them a house.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
So I mean, I do believe when they say they didn't think anything's going on at the time, but I feel like there was like this, you know, goggled glasses or whatever, beer goggles or whatever, where they just weren't seeing things because
beard goggles.
You know, get
celebrity goggles.
Celeb goggles. Foggy. Oh, what am I trying to say?
Is it stars in your eyes or something?
Stars in your eyes.
That's like that Calvin Harris song.
I know, that's all you're thinking about. And I'm thinking of stargazing. Let's just play Spotify right now. But in the Oprah one as well, they ask, have they forgiven their mother? It's just really interesting. Like, I wouldn't forgive my mother if they put me in that position. Not just like on one weekend, but for 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It's just like the amount of things happened. It was like, you know, and I thought that was kind of strange. And then we left him there for 5 days.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And then I started to get a bit worried because I couldn't reach him. I'm like, oh my God, go back to your son.
Yeah, there's no mobile phones back then.
And then, only pay phones. And then she said that Michael asked to stay for a year. And she was like, Micah, I'll share him with you. But, and I was like, sorry, excuse
but I'm not
going
to give him to you. I was
why
like,
would you share your child with somebody?
So weird.
Even if it's not the molestation thing, just in general, why would you share your child with someone? Like, that's weird.
So crazy.
So yeah, it's so crazy. And we were talking during the week and we did a piece on it too about how this kind of forgotten interview with LaToya Jackson has kind of resurfaced in it.
It's crazy. Like, this was from 1994. I don't know how I didn't hear about it.
I know. There's so many things I'm like, how did we not know?
She was estranged from the Jackson family at the time. So this is Michael's sister. And she held a big press conference in 1994. And it was like aired on MTV. It was like a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Basically saying that Michael was a pedophile and that she knew and that she had seen checks and that her, Michael had like paid off parents like a large sum of money and like said that he committed crimes against children. And then she also alleged that she was molested by Joe Jackson, their dad.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm a victim myself. I don't want this to happen to any more kids.
And that the mum knew about it, that their mother knew he was doing that. He would get into bed with their daughter. Yeah.
It was very, very intense. But then years later, she retracted all her comments. I was just like, oh no, didn't mean it.
And now she's still retracting, isn't she? She's like posting photos
of
Michael.
So she's back in with the Jackson family now and basically just said that she didn't mean all of that stuff and that her husband at the time made her say all the stuff. Apparently.
This is what's so confusing about the situation.
Yeah.
Because people keep backtracking, retracking, going, saying something happened, something did not. Like, it's so hard. Like, especially when there's kids at the time that were there and they're saying still now nothing ever happened and they're like accusing, like Aaron Carter did that stupid flipping thing with TMZ. Yeah. He met him like one time. He like sat over there one night and he's like, he never touched me. It's a lie. It's like,
but he was like, he said in the TMZ thing, he was like, you know, like I stayed in Michael's room. Like, you know, I was like, why were you in his room?
Why?
Like you shouldn't be in his bedroom.
But I feel like a lot of the celebs that are coming out are all the ones who are at the sleepovers. Like that's a very different story. Being on your own in a bed with a grown man is different to being in a room on your own when there's like five or six kids there.
Yeah.
Because then that is a sleepover.
Yeah.
I'm like, everyone's just having the chats. But when you're on your own in the dark in a room with a 34-year-old man and your parents aren't even in the house, like, what goes on? And that's saying no one will ever know. Like, no one will ever know what actually happened. But that's why I have so much anger towards the parents, because this wouldn't even be a thing if he was never allowed to sleep in the bed with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And like, I wonder now, because in the Oprah one too, she was talking about how he was so, so big back then, like such a big celebrity.
Oh yeah, mega star, like mega. Huge.
And she was saying it's funny because you can't really compare him to anybody now, because like, can you think of somebody that's like so worldwide famous that you, like what you said, Kim Kardashian. Yeah. And one of the people that messaged me on Instagram was like, I'd probably leave my daughter with Kris Jenner. Haha. And I was like, oh my God. But like, let's say Kim, you're in Calabasas, chilling with your daughter, and Kim Kardashian's like, oh my God, your daughter is so cute, oh my God, she's so amazing, let's all go to my house. And you're all in the house and there's like cars picking you up and buying you everything you need and all this food, and then she's like, oh my God, I would love to have your daughter like stay over. I know.
I'm like, totally,
I know you're
would.
Nearly there. I know, this is why I'm trying to explain it to you. And then you're all sitting in the room together and your daughter's on her bed and she's like, oh my God, she's just staying here. And it's like a huge bed and you're like, okay. And then like, I have a suite for you upstairs if you want, but I'd love her to stay here. Like, when you break it down to a person that's famous now, you can understand how maybe they got into the situation at the beginning. But honestly, I love the Kardashians too. I would be like, no, if my own child.
Your child.
I wouldn't want them in a separate room in a random place anyway. Not even with a stranger. But like, why would you want to be kept away from your child in the same building when they're 7 years old?
What I find like bizarre is the fact that obviously back then, and there's so much, like the thing is, there's so much footage of Michael with all these little boys walking around, holding their hands in public places. Like, were people not like, why is he with these little kids all the time?
Because remember, there was a big interview back at the time where he was like, I like sleeping in bed with boys. Like, it went viral.
And that interview was like, do you not think that's strange? And he was like, no.
Because that's the thing. He like was so upset. And you need to actually watch Finding Neverland. If you haven't watched it, just it's a different thing. This is a movie about Peter Pan, not about Michael. But Johnny Depp plays the author who wrote Peter Pan in it. And I remember like this is it only came out like God, a couple of years ago. But it was the first time that I actually wondered, was Michael maybe innocent? Because in the movie, the guy who made Peter Pan, because obviously the idea of it's really sad. It's like you never grow up. And yeah. the guy who made it had his own issues and basically didn't have a childhood either. Like the way Michael Jackson said he didn't. And in the movie, and this seems to all be true, like you do realize that he actually just wants to be a kid himself. And it's so sad. And like he surrounds himself with children and like he wants to create this magical world for kids. And he wrote Peter Pan and like did all these things. And I remember when I watched that, I was like, oh my God. And I remember even saying to my mom, because my mom's always been like, no, Michael Jackson is a Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And I was like, did you not think a little bit in that movie that it kind of showed a different possibility of like maybe he really was this sad guy who like had never been a child basically because his childhood was taken away and he loved being around kids. That's the only time ever. Now, obviously, since this documentary's come out, I've been like, okay, no, he's obviously not. But like, it is so messed up that he had such a bad time himself and now it's led to all these other things. It's the same with R. Kelly, that like a family member basically abused was raping him. Yeah. And then like, it all boils down to how you get brought up, you know?
Yeah.
That's why the parents have responsibility. Kim K was probably a bad one. I feel like if I said Kanye, because then it's a guy.
but
then at the time, I think pedophilia was not something that was spoken about. So
yeah,
a man being left with your son was probably a bit probably not weird because they're like, oh, well, it's a guy. Whereas if it's like a guy and your daughter, you'd be like, ho ho. Yeah. But it's like a little boy.
It was weird back then. Like, you know, like nowadays, if you brought your kids into the pub, like it would be kind of weird.
Weird, yeah.
But back then like normal. The kids were sitting up on the counter.
Yeah,
like,
having a
do
pint.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Shut out.
Like it's just, smoking. It's different. And you know, the way like nowadays, like I remember when I used to go on holidays and stuff, like with my cousins and friends or my brothers and sisters and stuff, like we would just be allowed to go to the playground on our own. They'd really? Be like, oh yeah, off you go now.
See, I was not.
But that was really normal back then. Like everyone was allowed to just go off on their own.
What age were you though?
We were on like campsites now, but I can't remember what age I was.
Honestly, that's never happened in my life. My parents were very strict. Like
no,
even on
I
a
know
road.
Loads of people that would have been let like, no. You know, the way you go on the green and like in an
but
estate.
But like what
and
age
stuff.
Though?
Can't remember.
You're like three. Like.
Three.
Under the age of 10.
Just like when, yeah.
No, yeah, that never happened in my life.
No, I know so many people that would
my
have
parents
been
were
like
very
let
strict.
Run free.
Even on, we grew up in a cul-de-sac and so all the kids, it was kind of handy, like all the kids would all play in the cul-de-sac, so it was like cut off or whatever. But one parent had to be watching the whole time. That was the deal. So like they'd be like, right, who wants to watch them this hour? Like never under the age of probably 12 was I like on my own. Like
really?
As in with no adult, yeah. And if I stayed in a friend's house, guy or girl or party or whatever, my mum would be like, are your parents here? Can I speak to your parents?
Yeah.
She would want to speak. Even if I was going on like a sleepover with loads of girls, she'd ring the parents. Are you going to be there? Are you here for the night? Like, so obviously like, and
no,
at the time
I
it used to annoy me so
it
much.
Was way
but
more
now,
cash back then. I know so many people that were like, you know, you had like strict parents though.
Yeah, but I would be the exact same. Yeah. I'm 100%. She was so right to do the things that she did. Like, Kaj, like, sounds fun or whatever, but, like, friends of mine who were in Kaj situations ended up in very bad situations. Like, drinking, drugs. Like, it's not even about just pedophiles. But, like, I remember really young, my mom taught us about, like, people trying to kidnap people. I know it sounds so intense, but around our area in Dublin when we grew up, a few kids had actually been like attempted to be kidnapped with a white van. I'll never forget it. And we walked to school on our own because there was like 100 kids walking to school from our road or whatever. But so I'd always be really aware and I would know not to talk to strangers, not to take sweets off strangers. That was like literally at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like I knew then to not speak to like, do you know what I mean? So like like it is important that kids, especially nowadays, I mean it's way worse now, but like with social media and everything, like parents really do need to be much more careful with their kids. And like even actually talking about all this stuff, the Madeleine McCann documentary, I know we haven't watched it either of us, but like
yeah, it's out now,
blown my mind. I can't wait to watch it. That situation is mad too.
Yeah,
that no one was watching those kids as they all slept in a room. Do you know what I mean? Like I know what you're saying, sometimes like parents like, oh, but like I would never be that parent.
No, I'm just saying back then though, it was a lot more chill in regards of like, it definitely yeah. was in the terms of like, like, you know, nowadays if you bring your kids to swimming or whatever, yeah. and like people used to take pictures, you're not allowed to take pictures anymore.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Sometimes I see parents putting up photos of their kids like on social media and there's other kids there. And I'm like, oh, are those other kids? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you just have to be careful, I suppose. But it's a di- and it's sad. Like, it's sad that people have to be this aware of things. Yeah. But like, I think the more we get into this digital age, the more we're realizing about like child pornography and like there's so much stuff that's out there that's just, we can't be ignored. Like there's things going on, like people are adding people and trying, did you know that group on Facebook that like confront people, do you know?
Oh, yeah,
when
yeah.
there's like
yeah.
that's brilliant. I yeah. love that group. Do you ever watch their lives? You'll yeah, feel like crazy. Getting like getting sick and vomiting everywhere. But I remember there was that guy who worked in RTE for a while and he was like stopped.
Really?
Yeah, we did a story on it. Were you not in work that week?
Oh my god!
He flew to like Liverpool or somewhere like that to meet a young kid, and like all the messages there of him grooming. Obviously,
what,
they're not real kids.
What did he do in RT?
He, I don't know. I don't want to say it because I'm probably wrong about what he did. He did something in sports anyway.
Oh my god!
Yeah, he mustn't have been here. He must have been off. It went everywhere, and it was up on the Facebook page and stuff. And he worked there for like 17 years. Yeah.
Oh my god.
People, and he had his own kids. Or he said, sorry, he, that was it. He said he had his own kids when he was confronted, and he was like, I just want a friend. See, I suppose they all say this. They're all like, I just wanted a friend.
Yeah.
So, wow, what a fun, uplifting episode we've had.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh my god. But look, it has been talked about a lot, and I think it was worth talking about. And I think for anyone who's like unsure about what they feel about it, like if you've only watched a bit of it or heard of it, watch the second one. You're totally right. Like, you have to watch the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Where you hear how they told their wives, and like, I mean, even Wade's wife was like, do you have weird feeling towards our son? Like, that could have blown up their entire marriage.
Yeah.
So it would shock me to my core if they both made up mm-hmm. the entire thing, you know?
I just think, like, aside from all the money stuff, like, whatever, but what do they have to gain from this? Like, it's obviously incredibly painful to tell this
to
story
the
in front of the entire world.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember how much the suit is for. It's for a lot, though. It is for a good few million.
I think they deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can see, like, they're traumatized for life.
Yeah.
Like, the money won't even fix it.
No.
So, it's the least, like, they can do.
I just think they're obviously not going to get any criminal justice because, obviously, he's dead. So.
Well, yeah, they can... Oh, yeah, yeah. They can only get justice through the estate.
Yeah.
Did you see, actually, Janet Jackson was announced for Glastonbury?
Mm.
She's the only one, really, who
hasn't
said anything.
Yeah. She is,
but
too
I feel
much
for her.
Line,
like at the end of the day, like her family aren't responsible for what happened to those children. Do you know what I mean? It's not. And what do you say? What can you say? Mm. What could she say? But I saw a lot of people were on LaToya's Instagram and they were like hitting out at Oprah. I was
oh,
like,
really?
Please, you can't hit out at Oprah. She's the queen of everything. Yeah, they were like, Oprah's a snake, as if it was Taylor Swift. Like there was all these snake emojis on her profile.
Mm.
I was like, Oprah is like God. So
yeah.
How dare you,
how dare
first
you.
Of all. But yeah, if you haven't watched them, it's not really a fun, you know, chilling Sunday weekend watch, but it's good to watch. And I think it's about time it came out. And I think since the Me Too movement and Harvey Weinstein and Robert Kelly, like all the things that are happening now, it just feels like now is the time where people are starting to feel a bit of justice so they can tell their story and be believed
mm-hmm.
and not be accused of. But like Wade was actually saying on the Oprah one that he's had so many death threats.
Mm.
I was like, oh my God. So yeah, like, why would you put yourself through that?
The fans are crazy.
Like insane.
His diehard fans are nuts.
No.
And he's not even alive.
He's not even alive.
Like,
were you
whoa.
On the bus tour with me in LA when we saw Michael Jackson's house?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
They were like, this is where Michael Jackson died. I was
we
like,
oh.
Ugh.
Now I'm like, wow. Should have thrown a few tomatoes in there, even though he doesn't live there anymore because he's dead. Okay, cool. We're going to finish up on that. And yeah, we're going to probably talk about Madeleine McCann next week.
Mm-hmm.
At least dive into it a little bit. So go watch it, everyone, so we can all talk about it together. And yeah, we'll chat to you next week. So that's it from us today, guys. We hope you enjoyed that. I know it's a bit of a dark episode because we were talking about something that's not that easy to talk about. But, you know, I think it's important to talk about these kind of things that are going on. And, the issues. And yeah, if you haven't watched Leaving Neverland, like Kendra said, it's on More4, and the Oprah interview is on YouTube. And we will chat to you next week. We'll be back next week with a guest in studio, so we'll talk to you then.